It is a privilege to be able to preach and teach the word of the Lord. Sometimes I feel not up to the task, and sometimes I feel like I'm not always prepared as I would ought to be and like to be. But I'm telling you, regardless of all that, it's still a privilege and an honor to be able to break the bread of life. Amen, amen. Luke 11 and chapter number 1. And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he had ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray as John also taught his disciples. I believe in another place in the New Testament, in the Gospels, it says, as we ought. But anyway, he goes on to tell them the Lord's Prayer. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Now, let's just slow down for a minute and look at this. He says, this is how I want you to pray. And as you begin to look at these things, it really sums up much of our relationship with God as we are calling upon him as our Savior and our friend. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. Give us this day. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And this doesn't say it exactly like the other gospel, but very similar. But then it goes on to tell us, and here's where I'm going to minister to from tonight. It says in verse number 5, and he said unto them, which of you have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine is in his journey, and has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not, the door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him, because he is his friend, and yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. Notice that word, importunity. That, to me, I'm just going to share with you tonight what's on my heart in this as a definition. To me, it just means getting down to business. He's determined. Amen. Importunity means not giving up. But I want to talk to you tonight about letting God know that you mean business. Letting God know that you mean business. Would you pray with us tonight? In the name of Jesus, Lord, I plead the blood. I'm asking you, Lord, oh God, to touch. I'm asking you, Lord, oh God, to move. I'm asking you, Lord, oh God, to help us tonight. We need your help. We need your help. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, God. Lord Jesus, in your name. Amen. You may be seated. I'm going to ask the sound man tonight to help us with some scriptures tonight. We could also say of this tonight that it's just getting serious with God. We don't want to fool ourselves. The Lord knows when we're serious or not, when we ask him something. Apostle James talks about not asking it amiss, that we might conceive it upon our own lust, but also not asking frivolously, like that we're not really involved in it. How many would raise your hand and say you sometimes have uttered a prayer, but your heart really wasn't in it? It was a habit. And almost before you thought, you said, oh, Jesus. But you really didn't mean, oh, Jesus, then. And then there's some times that you would do this and your thoughts aren't even together, but you just know you need him. And you say, oh, Jesus. But God knows the level of our sincerity. He knows when we're desperate. And he knows when we're just passing time. Amen. Now, I think that in growing in the grace and knowledge of God and our relationship with Him, there ought to be that part of us that just prays without ceasing. That doesn't mean that you're just praying all the time, all the time, all the time, but it means that at any moment you might just utter a prayer and you might just call on the name of the Lord, which is a strong and mighty tower. Amen. And that you are sincere with God and you know that you need God. And then there's those other times to where you are so urgent with God that you don't want to let Him go except He gives you the answer. Amen. Or as in Genesis, Jacob not letting the angel go, the angel of the Lord go until he wrestled with him till the break of day. He said, I'm not going to let you go until you bless me. Amen. That's the spirit I'm preaching about tonight. Not giving up. Praise the Lord. Not giving up. Be not weary in well doing, for in due season you shall reap if you faint not. Amen. I thought about teaching on healing tonight, and then I just felt a little shift in direction from the Lord. Amen. Onto this, but I still want to refer to this tonight. There are people in this congregation that you have been troubled. In your bodies, you have been troubled with tribulation of afflictions. Amen. Some of you this year, and then some of you on a more repetitious issue, maybe of a disease that you carry in your body. And sometimes it gets weary, and sometimes you almost kind of just want to give up and say, well, it's just going to always be this way. But I came to teach to you and preach to you tonight. Let God know that you mean business. Let God know that you've made up your mind, amen, that you're going to serve Him with faith, serving Him with gladness, meaning that even though the situation that you're praying for, as far as the naked eye could see, it hasn't changed, you're still believing the Lord. Sometimes it's just circumstantial. Things happen. I remember I used to travel promoting missions outside this local church around the state, and you could just write it down. Every time I went on that trip, I'd be sick with the same thing, aggravating cough and hacking at night and all the different stuff that goes with it, like a little tiny flu or a cold or a virus. You could just write it down. I was going to have that at that time. But then, and it's not that I'm never sick, but I've noticed the last several years, maybe 3 or 4 years, that hasn't plagued me so much. I remember a time whenever I was young, I had acid reflux really bad, and it was so bad and so severe, I had to get on prescription medication. It was when I was in college. And yet, then there came a long window of time where it just didn't bother me anymore. Now, I still ate spicy foods. I still probably wasn't as skinny as I need to be, and on and on and on. But life just kind of comes in cycles. Things happen. Things happen to bad people. Things happen to good people. I shouldn't say bad and good. I should say righteous and unrighteous. Those that don't even try to live for God, sometimes they'll get a $1 million raise. Amen. Those that are living for God, they may get a pay cut. But then you can flip-flop, and I know there are millionaires living for God, then if God calls their name tonight, they'll go to be with Jesus. Praise the name of the Lord. And so it's not always the same. It's not always just how you think it's going to be. But we do know one thing that's consistent in all of these things. I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord, right now. Praise the Lord. So he said, show us how to pray as the disciples, as John taught his disciples. In other words, in what manner we should pray. And so he says, pray in this fashion or pray in this way, like this. I'm giving you an example. Amen. It's essential when we're getting down to business with God that we eradicate or do away with the things that's going to block, the elements that's going to block our prayers from being answers. The answer. There's certain things that will block us from getting an answer to God, from God. Sin. Some people say, well, I don't know what sin is. Well, you may not know everything that sin is, But if you will just let God convict you, he will show you that there is such a thing as sin, and he will show you that it crouches at your door pretty often, at my door pretty often. Sin is trying to get in. Let me say that again. Sin is trying to get in. It may not be changing spouses. It may not be stealing and robbing in the bank. It could just be a white lie, as they call it. What's that? A clean lie. What is a clean lie? It's our excuse of trying to make a wrong right without repenting. That's what it is. We make excuses about stuff we want to cover and make excuses for, and that will hinder our relationship of getting something from the Lord. James says it like this: a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. Let not that man think he's going to receive anything from God. Now, I'm going to just tell you about me for a minute. That scripture convicts me sometimes, because I'll find myself not having the right attitude, or I'll find myself, amen, not being as diligent as I ought. I'll find myself letting something abide in me that shouldn't. And that scripture will be brought back to my mind, Sister Watt, and it convicts me. I don't want to be double-minded. I don't want to be unstable in all my ways. I do want to receive from the Lord. How about you tonight? Amen. I do want the Lord to daily load me with benefits. But I've got to do my part. I've got to ask the Lord and be honest about it and let him know, as I'm preaching tonight, I mean business, Lord, that I really want you, Lord, to show me if there be any wicked way in me that's hindering me from getting what I need in prayer. Praise the Lord. So there are hindrances to prayer that come into our life. 1 Peter chapter number 3. I hate to even bring this up because it'll shoot me right between the eyes sometimes. I have a wife. Now, Sister Marshall is one of those wives that she's kind of like my mom was. The bark is worse than the bite. And she will paw the ground, you know, trying to show me and the kids that I'm making these decisions here now about this. And I want our kids to obey her. And I want to obey her where I can. But there's times that just something gets into me that I'm going to do it my way. Sister Marshall knows how to squeeze the blood out of a penny, and I don't. I mean, I do sometimes, but not always. And I'll get a want. Y'all ever got a want sometimes? And my wife will do her best to try to intimidate me into thinking I shouldn't do that because she don't want me to do it. It may be something as innocent as a new pair of pants or something. And so a long time ago, I learned this little trick of the trade, that if I was going to do something like that, I wasn't going to break the bank. Now, I'm not going to send this to the poorhouse, but it's something I really want, and she just keeps fussing at me about it. I'll just, when I get ready, and I think we can handle it, I'll go get it, and I'll tell her about it before I ever get home. I do that because that way she can steam all down about it. When I walk through the front door, it's not near the war as if I would have walked in there and said, "Hey, guess what I did?" I think my kids have kind of picked up on that little lesson. And so, but yet there's things that we cannot violate in our relationship with, this talks about husband and wife, but it also could be father and mother and their children. It could be moms and your moms and dad, you that still have them. And it could be a neighbor. The Bible talks, it could be servants to masters. You know, the Bible talks about all kinds. And so we're not touting slavery here. So let's just talk about a servant to master relationship, boss and worker. And a lot of us in this building tonight find ourselves in one of those relationships. But it says contention and strife and disharmony will affect our prayer life. It will affect our ability to get serious with God. You can still utter the prayer. But there's a problem. How many's ever had to do some work, you know, maybe in some piping or whatever, or something that had a cylinder effect, and you was thinking that you was going to get one thing, but you looked in there and it was all blocked up. So you had to take and run something through there to get the conduit cleaned out. Because what happens, it can be so innocent, but over time, dirt and dust could just start collecting in such a way pretty soon. And our valves, our arteries and our veins and our body do that way. Sometimes they'll show us what we look like inside and we're like, how in the world did we get like that? Why am I so blocked up? Bite by bite. Cholesterol, fat, all the things that, you know, of themselves, each thing we got to have, but too much in excess causes us a blockage. Well, it's the same way in trying to get our prayer life right before God and try to let God show we mean business. We've got to keep things in balance. Praise the Lord. You could just literally eat your church services away. Every time it comes time for church, you could just sit at home and eat the whole service, and you just eat the service away. And you'd gotten plenty of nutrition in the natural life, but you would have missed all of that in the spiritual life. Now, I know that's silly, but really, in a sense, if we miss church for frivolous reasons, or we miss reading our Bible or praying for frivolous reasons, that's basically the same thing we're doing. We may not be eating food, but we're eating some things that doesn't really help us be as strong as we ought in the spiritual, and then of themselves may not be wrong. It's just that we need to do those things in moderation. I like to read stuff, sometimes just for pleasure. But if I only read pleasure and no Bible, what's wrong? What am I going to be full of? Pleasure, the world, that's right. And so then when I go to God in all sincerity, I'm expecting God just to say, oh, one of my children's down there all stirred up. I got to do something right now. Well, that's not the way I treated him. I put everything under the sun before him. But then when I had a crisis, I'd say, Jesus, help me. Ooh, if you've got children now or if you've raised children, you didn't like for them to do that to you. You didn't like for them to slough around, then all of a sudden they got an emergency and they expect you to bail them out. You didn't like that. You don't like it for your boss to do that or anybody else in your life. Well, God doesn't like for us to do it either. He wants us to regularly, daily, because life is so daily, show him we really do mean business. I said we really do mean business. So, back to the wife and back to the other relationships we may have. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them, who's them? The wife, according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel. Okay, now, I'm not going to get into that tonight. That's almost a whole other lesson on its own. We're not here put into that. It is what it is. It says she's the weaker vessel. That can have a multitude of meanings there. It's not, I will touch on this. A woman may be able to outlift me. I'm sure there are those out there that can. But a woman might be able to do things that I might not be able to. But if it's a thing that generally by weight wise a man does, it's not going to happen over and over and over. That's why in sports, there's the different weight categories and all of that, and there's the different things. There's just not a lot of national football women because it just doesn't stack up, okay? That doesn't mean she can't do anything. There's things that she will do that you don't do well. Amen. And there's things that a man might do But most men won't, because it's just a task and a thing that normally ladies gravitate to, and ladies do. We'll get off of that and get back onto this. It says, as heirs together of the grace of God. And so, other words, we find our place as a husband and wife, and we walk in it, heirs together. Why? For the grace of God. Amen. Why? So that our prayers be not hindered. And your prayers be not hindered. Amen. And this is not easy, because in relationships, we want our way. Now, this is not a Bible lesson on marriage tonight, but I'm going to touch on this. I believe that right there, that and the just saturation of lust that's out there, just cramming it down our throat all the time, and to our ears all the time. On the radio, that's all they want to talk about anymore. You're not this anymore, and you're not that anymore, and you need to go be fixed, and da-da-da-da-da. I get sick and tired of hearing of it. Every day, I'm not lying to you folks, every day on my way to and from work, that's on there. Again and again and again. What's wrong with our world? They want you to be young forever. These old bodies wear out. The thing that was so natural at 20 and 25 and 30 is not so natural at 85 and 90 and 100. We change. And it should happen, okay? But the thing of it is, we get to this place that also, besides the saturation in the world of lust, that does hinder when it's taken out of proportion and it's getting in the way of true love. The other thing is, I want what I want right now. I want it my way. It didn't say that here about the husband and wife. It said, dwell according to knowledge, giving honor. And then it says, as heirs together of the grace of life. James, in his writing, said he giveth more grace. We need mercy. We need grace extended unto us. Oh, how much we need. Amen. Romans chapter number 8 and verse 27 says, he that searcheth the heart knoweth the mind. I love that passage. And then in 8:28 it says, and we know that all things work together to the good of them that love themselves. Of them that love women. Of them that love men. I'll tell you something else that's crazy in this world. My wife has said this to me several times, because she's in the workforce. And also, we did 20 years of summer camp supervision. And she said, honey, it's the craziest thing. When I was younger and a teenage girl and all this, she said, women were not focused on men's physiques. They just weren't. They were focused on, he'll take care of me. He'll provide for me. He'll watch out over me. He loves me. Intimately, heart love. That gushy, mushy, Valentine love type thing that grows into together love. And now, society has twisted it to the point where women are acting like men. They're going out lusting over these guys. It's just ridiculous. I hear them talk about it at work, and they'll put out calendars and all this stuff that generally that's in a man's world. And I'm not glorifying it for man neither. Don't misunderstand me. It's not, but I'm just saying everything, they're trying to switch everything up and make it perverse. Romans chapter 1 speaks out about this and how they'll burn into their lust to one another, man upon man, women to women. Why? Because they're without natural affection. Amen. And so these things, we cannot do these things and expect to be blessed of God. Our prayers will be hindered. Amen. Then it goes on and says in verse number 8, finally, be of one mind. You can't be of one mind and contend to your own view. Brother, sister, what? They're here. They're married. And there's others here. Some are back there that are married. Some are here together that are married. But I'm going to use them because they're right here at the front. you two are married and you love one another, but in all of your love for one another, there's still some selfishness left in there. And I'm not running you down, but you're human. And you see it flesh up in your marriage sometimes. And you'll think, well, I don't want to do that. He wants to do that, but I don't want that way. And he'll say, well, that's what she wants, but I don't want that. Now, how do I know they're like that? Because they're human, they're married, they breathe. I don't know anybody, you may in your world, but I don't know anybody in my world in 2020 that don't have a selfish bone somewhere. We love this old guy. We love, I won't say this old lady, but you know what I'm saying. Got to be careful here. But we love ourselves. But for marriage to work, for unity in the house of God to work, we need to endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. That means somebody's got to give. Who's that somebody? The one that wants to let God know that they're serious about this business. That's who. The one that doesn't want their prayers to be hindered. Hey, if you don't care about your prayers being hindered, if you don't care about a relationship with God, you can become the most selfish, self-focused person in the world. And that really, it's just what you are and who you are. But if you want a relationship with God and you want God to know that you mean business, you can't act like that. You can't do that. You got to get in the place of the Word of God to where you care about God and you care about others, then you get to care about yourself. Well, I love God and I love people so much, I don't even want to bathe. I don't even want to brush my teeth. I don't even clean my house. No, that's not what I'm talking about. That's right. And here's the deal. If you truly love and respect others, you'll generally love and respect yourself. I mean, that's just common sense. Well, we're missing that sometimes in this world we live in. But it's true anyway. If you really love people, you're not going to invite them over to the house and the floors be filled with vomit and the seats have all kinds of nasty food all over them where you just didn't bother to clean up. You're not going to do that because you love them. You would not. You would treat them when you love them like a guest. We don't do that kind of stuff to guests. But if we don't care, we block our relationship with God. Hey, I'm going to tell you what. God cares about that kind of stuff. Amen. He cares about how we present ourself. Present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. There is no way that will wash with nudity. No way. That will not wash with showing flesh illicitly or seductively. It won't wash. I don't care how many churches try to do it. I don't care how many businesses are dropping their... I'm telling you what, I'm aghast in our world today at how many businesses have thrown dress code out the window and they'll let a woman come in looking like a hussy into the workplace and looking like she's a streetwalker. That didn't happen when I was growing up, folks. I'm not very old, but I'm telling you, I remember when most places had a dress code. Amen. And I'm just going to lay this out here, okay? 30 years ago, a person that body pierced themselves from stem to stern and tattooed themselves from stem to stern would not have gotten a job at an eating place. It would not have happened. Well, that's hard, Brother Marshall. Don't you believe they can forget forgiveness? Yes, I do. And God will forgive them of any of those things, no matter what they look like. But I'm going to tell you what, we're still understanding that we reap what we sow. And used to, there were some repercussions. And you, whether you serve God at a church or not, you just knew there were certain lines that you did not cross in human decency, or it was going to cost you your employment. It was going to cost you your respect among humankind. Folks, we've dropped off the face of the earth on this stuff, and we've missed it. But I'm going to tell
tell you what, there's one place we cannot miss it. It still counts in prayer to a holy God. Amen. I said it still counts in prayer to a holy God. And if somebody's living that way, the only way they're going to have an audience with God is to say, God, I see the error of my ways, because he will show you. You start seeking God's presence, he'll show you the things that you got wrong. He'll show me the things that I got wrong. And if I want to let God know I mean business, I got to fix them in the face of a holy God and get them right. Oh, let's thank the Lord today. Praise the Lord. I'll be honest, I was troubled with this, and I wasn't liking this so well when I was trying to put it together, because I wanted to go that other way. It sure was exciting about talking to y'all about God's healing power. This is not quite so exciting, but the more I'm preaching on this tonight and teaching on this, the more I'm liking it, because it will help you with your faith to be healed. It will help you with your faith to be saved, not just at the moment of salvation, but to be ready to meet him when he comes. We don't believe that you just get saved and no matter how you live, you're going to be ready. No, the Bible said, be ye also ready. That means every day. That means all the time, because you know not what hour your Lord doth come. So we've got to let God know on a regular basis that we mean business. Hallelujah. Praise God. Psalms, the 51st chapter and verse number 17. It's one of my favorite verses in the Bible, because it gives me hope that no matter how much I have failed God, that if I'm truly repentant, he will receive me and he will forgive me. A broken and a contrite spirit I will not despise, saith the Lord. And we ought to just worship him one more time for that. Amen. He's not just a God of judgment, but he's a God of mercy. His mercies are long suffering. His ways are past finding out. But one thing we do know is he will forgive and he will forget. Praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. And you got to be so careful. You can get so disappointed. I was in a meeting the other night, and the preacher was preaching along the lines of just in the presence of God. And in the presence of God, you can see so much happen, and so much can happen to you and in you and through you. But to really get into the depths of God, you got to go into his glory. And you can only go there when you humble yourself and you really let God know you mean business. And then he dropped the bomb. He said, and he just talked about his own church. He didn't pick on ours. He just talked to his own church. But we know it's relevant everywhere. He said, there's people that have sat on our pews for years. They only do this much. They will not go past just a certain place. That's once saved, always saved, really, when you stop and think about it. That's once in grace, always in grace. You just think that you can call the shots and do just this much, and that's what God has to take. No, he does not. He is wanting us to ever grow in the grace and knowledge of his grace and mercy and his wisdom. And he wants to know on a regular basis, are we serious with God? And so as a pastor, I can get locked up on those that just do, yea, so much, and are always on the edge. And I have. And I've beat the church up over them before, over and over and over, till my wife's gotten sick of it. And I'm sick of it. And I'm tired of doing it. And I don't want to do it no more. Because the thing of it is, I have to put us all, including myself, in the hands of a holy God. I have an obligation to feed the flock of which the Lord has given me oversight. And if I'm constantly chasing those that refuse to change, I have cheated the flock. Praise God. And so the Lord's serious about this. And he wants to know, Pastor, do you mean business? Do you really want to see the lost one? Amen. Are you just an aquarium keeper? Amen. That's just concerned about my four no more? Or are you really willing to believe that God can saved to the uttermost them that would call upon his name? Oh, praise God, praise God, praise God. Amen. So, Isaiah 59 and verse number 1 says this, and we should pray this. We should, because it'll build our faith. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. We need to pray that when we pray, because we need to remind ourselves in our own hearing, God's not deaf. The devil hasn't shut down God. The devil's not greater than God, but greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. But it goes on to warn us and tell us in verse number 2, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. So there are certain times that God doesn't hear. Now, this is a big debate. Well, those that want to debate. What does it mean when the church teaches that God doesn't hear a sinner's prayer save to repentance? Does that mean God's not going to do anything for them unless they get saved? I don't believe that. I believe it's all about direction. Let's face it, most people that get saved don't realize they're going to get saved. I mean, some purposely get saved, but some, they just get caught up in the process of needing God and they realize their salvation in hand. I'm telling you, I don't know how many people in years of ministry that didn't really want to live for God in totality, but they sure did want that healing that God was able. And in the process of God healing their body, he saved their soul. Praise God. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. And so we need to understand it's a directional thing. Praise the Lord. There's people out there living in sin without marital covenant. They're just shacking up. That's not pleasing to God. And I'm going to tell you what. Let me just get on it again. Just like the tattooing thing. When I was a child, when you shacked up, you were nasty. You didn't have any human decency. And my parents would have never, ever let you stay the night in that condition. It didn't happen in our house. I'm not saying I'm better than anybody. I'm just talking about how the world was and how the world is. People that would shock you today are doing that, and they don't have any regard for it. They think it's just a thing to do. It's such a deceived world we're living in. But I'm telling you, even if people don't continue and follow on to total salvation, if they will come out of that sinful way of just shacking up and come into a marital covenant and do things right with God, God will bless that. He might not have put them together initial, but it becomes the permissible will of God, because he does not plan on them separating and getting the divorce. What God had put together, let not man put asunder. Just because Oklahoma's 50%+ rate of divorce doesn't mean it's right and it's natural. That's because of the hardness of man's heart, the Bible says. But from the beginning, it was not so. Amen. Right in the early part of the Bible, let man choose a woman, let them come apart and be married. Amen. And let them forsake all others and become as one. And what God has put together, let not man put asunder. You don't have to go deep into the Word of God to find that. It's right there in the book of Genesis, right in the book of beginnings. God means what he says. And I'm going to tell you, there's a blessing for those that will obey the covenants of this world. And there's a cursing for those that do not obey the covenants of this word. Hallelujah. But so many people do it in ignorance and unbelief. And the Lord, amen, is long-suffering to them, and he desires to get to them. But I'm telling you, judgment begins at the house of God. And friend, when we know to do wrong and do it not, to us it is sin. We've got to make sure that we are not causing our prayers to be hindered, because we're not getting down to business with God. Oh, praise God. Amen. And so, 1 John chapter number 5, if you put this one up there on the screen, 1 John chapter number 5, verse number 14. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. Notice he said, not just anything. God, I want an illicit affair with some woman. I'm saying that because that's ridiculous, and that's such a stench in the nostril of God for a righteous man. The only way God's going to do that for me is to give up on me. The only way God is going to do that is if he chooses my delusion, because I have been so rebellious and so not about his business and not getting down to business with God. It didn't say that. It said according to his will. God, I want $1 million so I can heap it on my own lust, so I can buy bigger boats and bigger barns, so I don't have to come to church and put God first. No, it said according to his will, he heareth us. Let's read one more. If any man see his brother sin a sin which is not unto death, he shall ask, and he shall give him life for them that sin not unto death. There is a sin unto death. I do not say that he shall pray for it. Amen. All right, moving right along. I'm almost finished today. It says to us that in James chapter 1 and verse number 5, nothing wavering. Nothing wavering. I have a problem physically, and I've had it all my life. You get me to moving too much, and I'm going to be sick. I have motion sickness really, really bad. And I'm going to tell you, it makes God sick when we're going here and there and to and fro and all this motion and not stirring up anything profitable for him. It's a stench in the nostrils of God. He expects us to walk the walk and talk the talk. He expects us to be productive. He expects us to be faithful. Friend, there is a blessing in faithfulness unto God. I said there is a blessing in faithfulness unto God. Amen. I'm drawing to a close tonight, but I want to remind you that God is a merciful God. God's eternal purpose is unchangeable, but through prayer, God has been moved. So it's not just about us that we have to get down to business with God, but it's for others. There are those that's going to count on us. They don't think they know how to pray as they ought, but they sure have confidence in our prayers. And they believe that if we'll just pray, that God will give them an answer. Sure, praise the Lord. And so God doesn't change his mind. He's not a God that's inconsistent. But what happens is when people pray that are righteous, God is moved with mercy, and mercy is extended where wrath would normally be. Praise God. Aren't you thankful for that? Hey, friend, if it wasn't for the mercy of God, I'd have already been consumed. You wouldn't see a preacher up here. You wouldn't see me at all. I would have been consumed by the judgments of God. But thanks be unto God that giveth us the victory. Thanks be unto God that we can overcome sin. Thanks be unto God that we can show God that we really mean business and we're planning on getting down to business with God. Oh, let's love the Lord as we stand tonight. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Praise the Lord. I want to encourage you tonight. Amen. Let God know that you're importune in your prayer. Let God know that you've made up your mind and that you're not going to waver in doubt and fear, but you're going to be faithful to God. And you're going to know, amen, that when you ask the Lord, that he wants to hear you. Amen. That you got an audience with the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord, right now.